Well, it is wonderful to be here. It does feel like family. Just a few weeks ago, I worked out 58 people from City Church Sheffield have been in our front room. That's quite amazing, isn't it? That number. Adults, children. And now, if you're feeling left out, why haven't I been in his front room? Well, you're very welcome to come. Just not all at once, okay? Just give us some warning. Don't all turn up at the same time. Yes, so we're in Muscat in Oman. And it is very hot there, but I just tell you, it is warm here. You really need to sort out your AC in this room. It is hot. Anyway, I arrived yesterday. Friday, we have our meeting on a Friday. So it's quite mind-spinning to be in one place Friday. I'm here on Sunday. On Friday, we were praying for a Brazilian family who are leaving to go back to Brazil, actually on their way to Iran, the way God is doing that. That's a strange step, but that seems to be what God's leading them, back to Brazil and then praying to go to Iran. We were praying for a Nigerian guy as he goes back to Nigeria, for an Iranian as she leaves Muscat to go to south of Oman, to Salalah. She has a job there. For a Chinese lady and her son who are moving from Muscat to Finland. And we're saying goodbye to these people who are family. And it's emotional as you're saying goodbye to these people. But there is this sense of movement of temporarily being together. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I do want us to read that just the end of chapter 11 in Acts. We're going to read that picture of the church in Antioch. I know you'd started a series on that and you're working through different parts of what it means to be an Antioch church. Rich gave me advice just to wander around, and if I tread on any toes of people who are going to preach over the coming weeks, then sorry. But I feel that God wants us to look at, well, I know I'm being challenged in this, so I'm going to stand in front of you and be challenged and hope that you are challenged too, of just what it means to be citizens of heaven, not actually really belonging here and belonging somewhere else. And we've very much aware of that in Muscat. We don't belong there. We're not citizens of Oman. Our citizenship is somewhere else. And that does have a number of practical implications of the way you live. And God's been challenging me about that of kind of like, I know, don't just want you to be an expat in Muscat. I want you to be an expat in this world, wherever you are. And I want you to truly live as if you belong somewhere else. And I want to encourage you, because I do believe that's what we see in Antioch. It's interesting that they come from out of Antioch, from all over the place, actually, and they build this church. And we see that leadership team of such variety in that leadership team of nationality and different status. They are citizens truly of heaven. Here, let me read to you in verse 19 in Acts 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas sent to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Something about not living somewhere, not really being part of the place where you live, that stops you really putting roots down. You live differently. Even the money feels different. You know what it is when you go on holiday and you change real proper money, pounds, for this kind of funny stuff that they use in other places. It doesn't feel the same. You hold things quite lightly. It's much easier to give away 500 rial than it is 1,000 pounds, although it's the same value. It doesn't touch something deep inside you. You live quite lightly. We're aware of that just in the way our house is used. Our cars are being used by people as we're away now. It feels like, well, these things aren't really ours because we don't really belong here. We belong in the UK. So I'm proud of my UK passport. I used it yesterday coming into the country. You know, that new black passport, dark blue is it? You know, I think it's made in France. But proud of it, you know that. And there we are because I'm British. But I'm living somewhere where I don't really belong. And I'm with everybody in the church is like that. I feel the challenge of God that it's not just for this season there, but actually this is true of all of us as believers. We live somewhere where we don't really belong. We are, as Paul says in Philippians, he says, we're citizens of heaven. And from there we eagerly await a Savior. All our attention is on heaven, because one day, I mean, maybe we'll go to be with him, but the big picture is heaven comes to earth. The kingdom comes here. The story finishes with this declaration. The kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's our hope. And God calls us to put all our hope in that. Because the danger is we start to put our hope in this world. In fact, before Paul says that in Philippians 3:20, he's talking about all the reason he has to boast in what he has in the flesh. You know, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, righteous, all this. I've got all these cards to play, but they're all rubbish compared to knowing him. He talks about these people from this earth who, he says, their God is their belly. Their minds are fixed on earthly things. That all they're thinking about is this. And one day it's all going to go. So we're not like that. Our citizenship is in heaven and we're awaiting a Savior from there. Last Friday, 2 days ago, can you believe that? 2 days ago, we had the Schlanken meeting in our house. After our morning meeting, the Schlankens came back to our house for Schlanken food and worship and prayer in Singhala. And Family of Grace being Family of Grace, we also had a couple of Pakistanis there who'd brought Schlanken friends and two Indians who were there because they loved the Schlankens, and there were some three Iranian girls, and there was me hosting. That's our Schlanken meeting. It's people who belong together. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. One of the girls there, some of you will have heard this story. I was thinking, I'll use stories that have happened in the last year since I was here. But those of you who have been with us this year, you might have heard this. You will have heard this story. One of the girls who was there on Friday was, in fact, Iranian girl. She was the one we prayed for who is leaving Muscat to go down to Salalah, about 1,000 kilometers south of Muscat, still in Oman. She's got a job down there. We're praying for her to go. And she came for lunch. And as she's there, I'm remembering that it's her sister, her two sisters, who were with us last November through this story. And her sister, they've told me I can tell this story. They became Christians through who were living with us for about 8 months. And they became Christians as walked around our area, met these couple of Iranian girls, started talking to them, shared the gospel, said actually, when they shared we're Christians, one of them, the older sister, took out a cross, a crucifix with Jesus on it, and said, I'm not a Christian, but I love Jesus. I love the stories about Jesus. So they share the stories about Jesus. They speak about how he died and rose again. And these two girls become Christians, sisters, and were baptized. The older one, sadly, her husband passes away and they have to go back to Iran. And it's a very, very hard time for her back in Iran. She doesn't know any other believer. She would go into her car and just hold her cross and pray and ask God to be with her. One of the things that she'd said to me was, how come my cross has Jesus on it and yours doesn't? And I said, well, we like to remember the cross, but we like to remember that Jesus isn't on the cross. He's alive now. He can help us. He's active. He rose from the dead. And one time when in Iran on her own, goes to the car, she takes her cross and she starts to pray, and Jesus has fallen off her cross. And she's distraught at first, looking in the car, where's Jesus? Where is he? And she hears God say to her, reminding her of what God said to her, I'm not on the cross, I'm alive, I can help you. And there in the car, she meets with the risen Jesus. And she has an encounter with him. And he comforts her. She goes back to her family. Her sister says to her, what's happened to you? She says, what do you mean? What's happened to you? She says, well, she doesn't want to tell her at first. But eventually she shares, well, when I was in Muscat, I became a follower of Jesus and I was baptized. Says, I want to do that. And so a few weeks later, I fly to Oman, and in Muscat, they spend a week as they go through the gospel with. She clearly responds. This is what she wants. And on a Friday afternoon, we baptize her in a pool in a villa. And that Friday evening, she comes to our house in the Sri Lankan meeting, and they're worshiping in Sinhala without understanding what's going on. We're all worshiping. The Sri Lankans are worshiping in Sinhala. I look across at these two girls who've come over from Iran for one of them to be baptized. And they have their hands up and there's tears going down their eyes. And I think, we don't belong here. Nor in Sri Lanka, nor in Iran, nor in the UK. We belong to this kingdom of heaven that is breaking in Family has become so important to us. One of the things we're so aware of, living away from family, you lean into one another in the church very, very strongly. It really was with weeping that we say goodbye to this family who are going to Brazil. They'll be gone by the time I go back. We belong to one another. We don't separate out into, well, the Brits and the South Africans and the Sri Lankans. There's such a sense of, no, we belong together. Family is just so important. We love belonging somewhere else. And I don't want to lose that. Wherever God takes us, whatever happens next, whatever is happening as people are leaving Family of Grace and going off to Brazil and Finland, and I want us to keep hold of this. You do not belong here. This is all going to fall down. Just when we were in Buxton, we went through a building project just a bit after you bought this place. Smaller, but we were a smaller group of people. And we learned a lot, actually, watching you and Faith, and particularly Arnold, and how he was walking through, and really believed God would provide. And felt we couldn't mention on our Sunday meeting any need. We just felt God said he'd provide, we're not going to mention it. And we come to the Sunday when we need, it was originally about £60,000, to buy the building, or the building was going back on the market. In our prayer meeting, this is right at the beginning of the year, I remember it so well. In our prayer meeting, somebody had said, Tim, you said we were doing two buildings, the one in Buxton and one in South Africa. Have we finished the one in South Africa yet? It's going, well, no, we haven't. How much do they need? They asked. And we, in the meeting, I message, and I get a message back. They're 30,000 short. So it's like, well, we've got that money. We could pay that. We'll still be short. I mean, short is short. In a prayer meeting, it made sense, okay? Afterwards, late at night, I was thinking, what have we done? But we finished the building in South Africa. And now, instead of 60,000, we were 90,000 short. But I mean, short is short. So it comes to the last Sunday, where if anything's going to come in, it's got to come in today. And I'm thinking, okay, what shall I preach on? And feel God say, preach the next passage. You're not mentioning it. We agreed, that was the agreement. And we're looking at Mark 13, I think it is, where the disciples are in Jerusalem. And the disciples say to Jesus, look at the temple. Look at these stones. And Jesus says, it's all coming down. Don't be impressed with it. It's all coming down. So that's our passage that we look at. After lunch, we get a phone call, Becky and I, saying, would you come round to the house? Just come and see us. We go and see this couple. And on their mantelpiece, there's a check for £100,000 made out to the church. And he gives it. This is a long time ago when £100,000 was really worth £100,000. But anyway, and so he just says with these words, we don't want to be holding this when it all comes down. Tell you that state with me. That was more powerful than my preach. I've lived with those words. I don't want to be holding this when it all comes down. Tell you, we belong to another kingdom. And that kingdom is coming. And this age is passing away, and you do not want to be putting your weight on this age. You don't want to be investing in it. You don't want to be putting your hope in it. It is going. We're going to leave. It's going. This is how Paul speaks. In fact, let's just look at that, Philippians 3:20. Let me read it to you, and those verses beforehand. It says, in fact, I'm going to read from verse 17. Sorry, guys, the back, I didn't warn you. But brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. What's your hope? I've shared this before, it comes to mind. In Buxton once, singing the song, Come, Lord Jesus, Come. Remember that song? Come, Lord Jesus, Come. I remember it because we sang it on Friday in our meeting. Suddenly it's there and all this memory comes back. Come, Lord Jesus, Come. I remember once in Buxton when we were leading the church there, just singing that song. It's a lovely song, just asking his presence to come. Come, Lord Jesus, Come. And then suddenly I'm not singing about the presence of Jesus by the Spirit. I'm actually praying it like Revelation finishes with the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, Lord Jesus. And then I'm singing, Come, Lord Jesus, Come. Lord, come. I want this aching world to finish and you to come and your kingdom to come. And then I remember Becky and I have a holiday booked in Greece in a couple of weeks' time, away from the boys, much as we love them. But we were going to be away for the first time for a whole week in Greece. And I'm singing, Come, Lord Jesus, Come. And I'm thinking, could it wait a couple of weeks? Because I'm really looking forward to that holiday in Greece. And your heart is exposed before God. God does it, doesn't he? What do you want? What do you really want? What do you really want? Where is your weight? What are you longing for? Where's your hope? Where are your dreams? Where's your security? Who are you? I'm yours, Jesus. My citizenship's in heaven. Come. Come. Let all my plans, all the pension plans, all the house plans, all the career plans, all the holiday plans, let them be washed away by the kingdom. Not just in your final coming, Lord Jesus, but in your purposes in my life. Can you say that? Every now and again, we're aware of it, very much in the Middle East, of it's shaky at times. Whoa. And there's suddenly airspace gets closed down. We had a couple in the church who were in Iran. They were meant to be flying back that Friday morning. They're at the airport, and suddenly, no, all airspace is closed. 4 a.m., there were these missiles coming over. Everything changes. They're stuck in Iran. It's shaky. Sometimes we feel it here. Maybe you do. God is quite happy to shake. Whoa. How much do you shake when this place, when the country shakes? Or do you say, I'm a citizen of heaven, and heaven is not shaking? Because people need to see that. People need to come up to you and say, why you don't seem worried when everybody else is worried? Why aren't you shaking? You're not from round here, are you? No, I'm actually got my citizenship in heaven and I'm waiting a saviour from there. Or are we shaking like everybody else? I tell you, I would call you, you're citizens of heaven, remember. Put all your weight on him. Makes a difference. Makes difference to decisions you make with money and career and time, your dreams, your plans. People who came to Antioch, they just did things differently. Nobody had spoken. Everybody was speaking to Jews, but these people, they turn up, they do things differently. They're not from around here. It's not just actually about people coming and people going. It's about the people who are not from round here. Maybe you are. Maybe you've been born and bred Sheffield. Maybe people can say, yeah, I know your mum, know your dad. Said that to Jesus, and Jesus still said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We are different. We belong to another kingdom. We see that. How am I doing? We see that. We've had the privilege of seeing people come to the Lord from nations where there aren't many people who come to the Lord. Last Monday night, we had 5 Afghani believers in our house, 4 of whom were in the church. There could be as few as 10,000 Afghani believers in the world. 5 of them were in our front room last Monday. And I felt the privilege. And they're telling their story. In fact, I have the story of one of them. He sent it to me on PDF. If anybody wants it, his full story is there. You can read it. Ahmed and Mariam fled Afghanistan because he came to the Lord there. Just thinking, reading the Quran, and prompted by the Spirit, he begins to think how special Jesus is. No earthly father, alive now, miracle worker. What's special about him? He wants to find out more. He very carefully goes online and meets with an Iranian in Finland who shares the gospel with him and leads him through a prayer which brings him into relationship with Jesus. He says he wept and wept and wept with such joy when he gave his life to Jesus. Miriam, his wife, not a believer. And then at work once, he owns a business, a factory making furniture and selling it. A wealthy man. Mariam says she was wealthy. She had a car. She had her own business. Somebody at work has his phone and sees worship songs come through, clearly Christian, and tells the Taliban about it. News comes to him. You need to flee. And so he and Mariam flee Kabul. They go off. They manage, miraculously actually, to get out of the country into Iran. He searches, where can I be safe as a Christian? Close by, you know, looking in the countries by. And he sees Oman is a place he could be safe. So he and his wife Mariam come to Oman. Mariam, not a believer, is herself praying, what should I do? Should I follow my husband? She's following her husband, but should I follow my husband's faith or should I follow my parents? She has a dream of Jesus. I tell you, this is happening so much. She has a dream of Jesus standing at a door and she doesn't understand it, but she has it multiple times until in our front room, Becky and I didn't know anything about this. I think we were away somewhere. In our front room, Maheda shares how Jesus says, I am the door. And it clicks in her mind. Jesus is coming to her and saying, I'm the door. Come to me. And so she hears that. She hears, reads that passage in Revelation where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So she becomes a believer. They stay with, have very little. They're staying with another couple. They share their apartment with another Afghani couple. Very scared of them. Don't want to talk with them. Another Afghani couple who has fled Afghanistan because he was an English teacher with the British Council. And his story is gruesome. Sisters brutally killed. I can't tell his story, actually. His story he's going to write down. And if you want to read that, you can. They want to stay away from Afghanis as much as possible. So 2 Afghani couples living in the same apartment, bumping into one another, trying to not speak to one another, until Ahmed begins to feel he needs to share the gospel with Essas. So he starts talking. He says, I didn't tell him I was a believer. I just told him the things that were in my mind before I became a believer. Have you noticed how special Jesus is, the prophet? How he does so many miracles and he's still alive and they talk. They start reading the Bible together and eventually Ahmed shares, I believe Jesus died and rose again and I've given my life to him. And Essas, he does the same. In fact, Rich and Nick, Nicky and I, we were there in their room, sitting on the floor, eating their food, and then praying for Essas as he gives his life to Jesus. His wife didn't know. Since then, that was April the 30th. Since then, his wife's given her life to Jesus. Because she had a dream of Jesus who came to her. And she was very heavily pregnant. And he touched her stomach. And then when the baby was born, he came and held him in his arms and touched baby's head. She gave her life to Jesus. Essas was baptized just 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. His wife will be baptized when we go back. They have left everything. They were successful in Afghanistan. They were wealthy. He was educated. All his possessions were seized, all his bank account frozen, and they just ran for their lives. And they've got nothing. But there is such joy when you're with them. I don't talk about my pension fund with them or what my plans might be in the future or any worries I have about a house, because when I'm with them, I'm a citizen of heaven so clearly. My prayer is, oh God, let me never, ever lose that perspective. Last year when we were with you, first time I felt, oh, this is a perspective we need here in the UK. Where in Muscat, in Family of Grace, we can say, well, we'll just put that aside because, well, we're not here for long and we're on a mission together. And I know that's interesting, but we're not going to major in that because we're together as family and we're together on a mission. Those two things are so big in our mind that everything else becomes secondary. Yeah, now I know that's important to you and this is quite important to me, but hey, God's put us together and we're going to walk together for the sake of this mission. Everything else is secondary. This group in Antioch, they didn't belong in Antioch. They didn't belong in this world. In fact, they're part of a story, so clear there, they're part of a story that goes right back to Abraham, who was called and left to go to a country that he didn't know. And the writer to Hebrews makes it clear it wasn't just from Ur to Canaan. It was actually out of the world to a city whose architect is God. Something else, something otherworldly had grasped for all those heroes in Hebrews 11. The writer to the Hebrews reminds the readers, he said, do you remember how you lost homes with joy because this had gripped your heart that you were part of something new? He said, don't lose it. Don't get caught up in other things now. So the parable of the sower, isn't it? Where this seed grows up and is healthy and strong and is strangled by the cares of this world. That's not just worries about things happening in your life. That is starting to think you belong here. You don't belong here. You're not from around here. You belong to another kingdom, and it is coming, and it breaks in. That's why our prayer is, may your will be done, May your kingdom come. May it break into my family, my situation, my workplace, my home. May it take me wherever you want it to take me. Because one day, everything's going to shake. The whole thing's going to be swept away. And the kingdom will come. And the king himself will come. I don't want to be swept away because I've put so much weight in this world. My God has become my belly. My mind is set on this world. It says their end is destruction. We belong to another kingdom. And I want to pray for us, just as I finish now. I want to pray that you put all your hope in this kingdom. That you live in such an otherworldly way that people around you say, well, why are you making those kind of decisions? How come you're not worried? Why are you laughing at such a time? What have you got that nobody else around here has? We're from another kingdom. We have a savior. What are you putting your weight in that God just wants to challenge you about? I just want to pray for you. He comes to us and he applies this word. Lord, I just pray now for us.